prophet, Psalm 127. It's one of the set readings for Mothering Sunday, so you might like to think about why. Why is this an appropriate psalm for today? It's very obviously in two halves. So again, another thing to think about is maybe, well, what's the overall theme of this psalm, or how might those two halves of the psalm be connected? Psalm 127.
Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labour in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat. For he grants sleep to those he loves. Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in court. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Helen. Well, we said our first slide up, surely. I don't know if you thought that this was an appropriate psalm for Mothering Sunday. Maybe the people who set it did, because it talks about home and family and children. And in those two halves of the psalm, we can see talk of building a house in verse 1, and then a household in verse 3, a family. There's probably a play on the words here as it goes from a
house to a household. In both cases, it might also go from a house to a city, because in the first part it talks about defending the city, and in the second part it talks about the man and his sons in the city gate. In Helen's version it said court, because the city gate was the place where they might do business or have legal proceedings. So the house and the household. And did you notice those repeated words in the psalm? In vain. A warning. Unless the Lord builds the house, its labourers labour in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. In vain you rise up early and stay up late. So something vain is something pointless, something that fails or doesn't last. So in the background of this psalm are issues like, well, what is a successful life? What will work? Will what I try to build succeed? Will my house stand? Of course, the Bible doesn't promise us success in worldly terms necessarily. But without God, there can be no success, can there? Because he made us. We depend on him for life and breath and everything else. We're only a heartbeat away from eternity. God has to give us our next breath. Nothing can succeed or work without the blessing and help of God. But even if it does succeed, if you manage to build the most marvellous house, will it last? Will people come and destroy it? Maybe there'd be an earthquake. The house could collapse. Who will get it when you're gone? And that points us too towards the question of significance, doesn't it? What's the meaning? Why does it matter? Even if you could build the most wonderful palace, even if it was a great fortress and it seemed terribly secure, even if you were as rich as anything, would it matter? What's the point of it all? What's the meaning of life? Well, the Bible would say it's God who gives life meaning and purpose and significance. So those issues of success and security and significance are in the background as we think about this psalm, which gives us four pictures. So we can have the next slide up. Please, Shirley, here are the first three pictures. The first half of the psalm, which tells us that the Lord must build the house. So that first picture, I don't know if Shirley can point at it for us. What's that in the top left, Tommy? What's that person doing? Who is he? A builder. Yeah, he's a builder, isn't he? Verse 1, unless the Lord builds the house, the labourers labour in vain. I guess it's thinking not just about ordinary buildings, but perhaps about our life as imagined as a house. We need the blessing of God. And it might remind us of a certain parable that Jesus told about building. Can you think about what that might be? This is meant to be a clue. Any ideas? The story Jesus told about building houses. In fact, about two buildings. You know, surely. Maybe we need a grown-up to help us. Jonathan Austin knows. Yeah, do you remember that song? A classic song. The wise man built his house upon the rock. It encourages us to build our lives on the rock of Jesus and his word. Unless the Lord builds the house, the labourers labour in vain. Well, can we point at the second picture? What's that second picture there? The one on the right, big one. A guard, yes, a soldier, perhaps from Buckingham Palace. And again, that's the second part of verse 1. The house here sort of expanded into the community, the city. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stands guard in vain. Now, of course, this doesn't mean that you shouldn't watch over the city. You shouldn't guard it. It's not saying, oh, well, don't worry about the guards because God will look after you. It's a bit like what Oliver Cromwell said in the English Civil War to his soldiers. He allegedly said to them, trust in God and keep your powder dry, your gunpowder. So they used gunpowder to fire their guns or muskets or whatever they were. And obviously if it got damp, it wouldn't ignite, the gun would be useless. So you had to keep your powder dry, had to train and prepare and work, but also pray and trust in God. The two things go together. And that's what comes in the next bit too, as we think about the last picture, maybe a worker, or perhaps a farmer would be this third picture. You see that lady there, perhaps she's in an office. She looks pretty stressed out, doesn't she? And sometimes we can be stressed out, particularly perhaps in our day and age, where maybe the economy's in trouble, jobs are insecure, it's sort of 24/7, it's often global, it's always on, isn't it? The emails are always pinging. You might wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and check your mobile if you're not very sensible. Maybe your boss has sent you an email at 2 a.m. That's the kind of thing that sadly happens, isn't it? So the psalm isn't saying, don't work hard, stay in bed late, laze around. But it's saying that hard work alone is not enough. We need to trust not in ourselves and our hard work, but in God, verse 2. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat. Maybe this worker thinks that lunch is for wimps, and you know, wouldn't ever contemplate a siesta even. Perhaps they would have had that in their culture. No, up early, bed late, toiling away, anxious, worried. But God grants sleep to those he loves. Yes, work hard, but also rest. Trust God. You might think of Jesus in that storm. He can lay down in the back of the boat with his head on that cushion and sleep. He tells a parable about the farmer who plants the seed of the kingdom of God, the word of God. And whether he wakes or sleeps, it grows. You depend on God for the growth. Or we might think of Jesus teaching about the flowers and the birds. They don't toil anxiously. They don't worry. They know that their loving Heavenly Father cares for them. Now it's God who gives us ultimate security, God who gives us rest. And today is the Sunday, the Sabbath. That's an encouragement to us to remember that we depend on God, to pause from our work and to trust him. And then, next one, Shirley, here's the last picture. Who do you think that might be? What sort of person is that in the middle there? Not a mum this time, but a dad. Okay, yes. Here's a family, a household, a dad, and his sons particularly. Sons are a heritage from the Lord. Children, the Bible is saying, is a gift. Sadly, some people can't have children. Even with all our modern technology, we can't always achieve children. We're dependent on God for that gift. And our society sometimes thinks of children as a lifestyle accessory or as a burden. But the Bible thinks of children as a blessing and a responsibility. They're like arrows full of potential. And parents are encouraged to do what they can to fire them in the right direction, to teach and train and educate their children. They're a blessing from the Lord. So we need to trust God for our children, not to be anxious helicopter parents, but to pray and to do what we can. And in our New Testament reading, we're going to think about the gift, the blessing of a child. The child who really determines true success and security and significance. The miraculously born child who determines our destiny and our eternal home, whether or not we belong to the family of God. So we're going to have our second reading now, which Merrill has kindly pre-recorded for us. It's from Luke chapter 2, verses 28 to 35, and it speaks of the baby Jesus in the temple. Jesus is the child here that Simeon speaks about to Mary. Luke 2, verse 28.
Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marvelled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, two sermons for the price of one today, but this one really, really quick. Shirley, perhaps we could have the next slide up, please. And maybe you could point at that first down arrow for us. Jesus is the one who decides people's destiny. He will cause the falling and rising of many in Israel. So this is like what Mary spoke about in her song. God will bring down the proud, those who are full of themselves and think they're self-sufficient and they don't need God. He'll send the rich empty away. But second arrow, he'll raise up the poor and the needy and those who put their trust in him. Those who come to him hungry, he'll feed. This is the pattern of the Christian life. If we fall down at Jesus' feet, he'll raise us up. He'll cause the falling and rising of many in Israel. That's the pattern for Jesus, isn't it? Who came down from heaven, down to the depths of a cross, and rose again and ascended to the Father's side. So if we want to successful, secure, significant life, the wise thing to do is to fall at Jesus' feet, to put our trust in him afresh. Yes, to work hard and be sensible and wise and diligent, of course. But to look for God's blessing, to look to Him to raise us up. Well, may God give us grace to do so. Let's say a prayer together. Father, we thank you for Jesus, who perfectly lived in the light of this psalm and all the scriptures. We fall afresh at his feet. We pray that you'd forgive us our foolish self-sufficiency when we thought we didn't need you, our anxious toil when we couldn't trust you. Lord, give us rest in the Lord Jesus, we pray. Bless the work of our hands, our homes, our families. Raise us up that we might serve you and your great kingdom purposes, we pray. For Jesus' name's sake. Amen.